I can remember growing up, and I hardly remember ever having any, you know, electricians or plumbers or any of that over the house. My dad always just took care of everything himself. And most of the time he did not enjoy it, but it saved a lot of money if he would do it himself. And I've slowed down a lot, two broken shoulders and a broken back and epilepsy. You know, it's hard to crawl underneath sinks and do plumbing and stuff like I used to do a lot more of. But I still, a lot of times, you know, do stuff around the house if I can. Still enjoy working on my cars. I like that part of it for the most part. For those of us who like to do that kind of stuff, these last decade or more, we've gotten a big help. It's called YouTube. Anybody ever heard of YouTube? Yeah, all the how-to videos on YouTube. I mean, you can find anything from how to build a flower bed to how to change out the wiring harness in a 2013 Ford Expedition for the blower motor. Yes, I've looked up both those things and done them. And so YouTube's great because you can look up all these how-to videos. You can watch it being done. You know, you're not just reading instructions. But for any of you who have ever done that, who have ever looked up any kind of how-to video, you've also dealt with the frustration. Have you ever had the situation where you go, this did not go anything like the YouTube video said it was going to go, right? You dealt with that, I'm sure. So we've had that. Now, how many of you have had that experience with church? Here's what I mean by that. You go, you listen to a sermon, you say, I understand that passage now. I got some great info. I believe I know how to apply this to my life. But then you head home and you go about your week and you end up saying that did not go at all like Pastor Shane said it was going to go. Anybody had that experience before? Well, that frustration is actually common to us all. It's not just you. It's something that's common to every single believer. Today's passage that we're going to look at in our study of Romans has got to be one of the most frustration-laden passages in all of the New Testament. I mean, you just read through it and it's full of frustration. You can just hear the struggle in these words. And as we read it, I think maybe your experience might be like mine because this is my experience. Every time I read Romans 7, 14 through 25, I see myself. I see myself in this passage every single time. There's a lot of passages I don't. It's a lot of passages where I go, man, I wish that's who I was. But when I read this passage, I see myself here every single time. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see yourself in this passage. But it is God's word. So we know that there's hope. We know that there's answers in here. Even though when we first look through it, it doesn't feel like it. So today we're going to look at Romans chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 14 through 25. We're going to finish chapter 7 in the book of Romans. So Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14 through the end of the chapter, and see if you don't feel the same frustration. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. For I do not understand what I am doing. Because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I'm no longer the one doing it, but it's the sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there's no ability to do it. If I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self, I delight in God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God. But with my flesh, the law of sin. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come today, I ask that each of us would be able to reflect very honestly on our lives, on our thoughts, on our desires, on our actions. We'd be able to reflect very honestly on the lives that we live and on the lives that we desire to live. And Lord, I just ask that you would take this passage full of frustration. Even Paul says in this passage, I do not understand what I'm doing. That you'd be able to take this today and you'd be able to use it to speak truth into our lives, truth of conviction, but also truth of life and living. That you remove whatever barriers are going to keep us from hearing what you have to say today, so you could speak loud and clear to the depths of each and every one of us, the part of us that really matters, not just our mind, but our hearts. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross and bring glory to Jesus Christ here in this place today. He is the only answer to this problem, and he is the one who needs glorified and lifted up and honored here in this place. Heavenly Father, as I just shared, I understand this struggle. I am a sinful man, and I delight in your law, but I don't always carry it out. So, Lord, if something's going to be accomplished here today, you're going to have to move this sinful man out of the way. You're going to have to get rid of shame, and you're going to have to speak loud and clear. So, Father, I ask that you do that. We need to hear from you. We desire to hear from you. So speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is The Long Road from Wretchedness. The Long Road from Wretchedness. And as we walk through this passage, I kind of see this progression, these three things. The first is just the reality, the way things really are that we have to face. The second is the wrestling, this fight that is continually going on within us. And then kind of the conclusion of this progression is the wretchedness, just an understanding of who we are as people. And so that's what we're going to walk through today. And as we go through this passage, I'm not going to pretend like it's not hard. It is very, very hard. And so what I want to do to start with today is, in case you get lost somewhere along the way, or maybe you just fall asleep because I'm a little boring, I want to give you one truth that you can start off with today that we're going to carry through the rest of this, and that way you can hold on to this, okay? No matter what happens for the rest of the sermon today. This is what I want you to remember. The law of God is holy, but it's unable to make me holy. Okay? The law of God is holy, but it is unable to make me holy. And at the end of this, we're going to see the tension of this passage is not even quite relieved in this particular section. When we get to the end of chapter 7, this tension that Paul creates right here, it doesn't get relieved. You have to wait till chapter 8. But I'm going to give you some you know, little trailer, a little preview of what's coming up so you don't get left hanging too much today. So let's jump in. Let's look at this passage. We're going to start with verses 14 through 15 and just the reality of the situation. Paul begins by saying, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate." Man, can anybody relate to that? At this point in the passage, Paul, from what we just read last week in chapter 7, Paul has now switched to the present tense. What we talked about last week was all in the past tense. He's saying this is the way things used to be. And all of a sudden right now, he changes into the present tense. Now, there's all kinds of... This is one of those passages that you can read for ages about it, because it's such a difficult passage. And there's all different opinions and ideas on this. But I believe he's really talking about his struggle, his current struggle, our struggle, the struggle of mankind, the struggle of not just mankind, but specifically of believers who still live on this sinful earth in our flesh, not perfected yet. At least not me. Anybody here perfected? Okay, cool. We're all in the same boat, so we can talk about this passage together. He's talking about the struggle of followers of Jesus, people who have been saved and rescued from your sins, people who are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus and sealed for all eternity. And yet, where do we live? In our unperfect flesh on this unperfect earth. Paul's a mature Christian. I mean, hopefully we've all seen that, but he's not a perfect Christian. Paul is a mature Christian, but not a perfect Christian. Philippians 3:12. Paul says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus." Oh man, that verse will preach, and we could talk about that forever. But Paul very clearly says, he's telling people how to live. That's what he does in all of his books. He's teaching them this theology, telling them how to live their lives. But I love in Philippians because he stops for a minute. He says, now don't think I've got this all right. I'm not perfect. I haven't taken hold of the prize yet. Someday I will when I'm standing in glory. But one thing I do is I keep going. I press on. I keep moving forward because I know that Christ has taken hold of me. Paul in other places in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 15:9, he calls himself the least of the apostles. The least of the apostles. In Ephesians 3:8, he calls himself the least of the saints. I am the least of the saints. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, probably one of my favorites, he calls himself the worst of sinners. I am the worst of sinners. So Paul understands this reality with himself. He is a mature believer, but he is not perfect. So here's the reality. We are all in a battle with our sinful nature every day. That is just the truth. We are all in a battle with our sinful nature every single day. Brothers and sisters, this isn't news to you, but life's not all roses. Life is hard, and our pursuit of a godly life doesn't always go well, does it? Doesn't always go the way we want it to. We don't always understand our own actions. And every day is a fight. If that was true for the Apostle Paul, guess what? It's true for me and you too. It's true for me and you too. So that's the reality that we live in on this earth. Now, let's talk about this wrestling that he gets into. Verses 16 through 20. He says, "Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I'm no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there's no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one who does it, but it is the sin that lives in me." This is a very raw expression of everything we've been talking about up to this point in Romans, all that we've gone through in the book of Romans, and how it works out in our daily lives. I've told you, if you've been here for all of it, I've told you from the pulpit as we've gone through the book of Romans, here's some things I've told you loud and clear. We are not children of Adam any longer. We belong to Christ. You remember that part? We are not enslaved by sin. Christ is now our master. Do you remember that part? We do not belong here on this earth. Our home is in heaven. We are no longer sinners. We are declared righteous in God's eyes. When God sees us, does he see sinners? No. He sees righteousness because of what Christ has accomplished. We've talked about all those things in depth as we've gone through the book of Romans. And if we're honest, how many of you have said along the way, at least in your hearts, it sure doesn't feel like that sometimes, Pastor Shane? Have you felt that way? It sure feels like I'm still stuck in my sin. Well, guess what? You're not alone. You're not alone in that feeling. This is the wrestling that we deal with every single day. When Paul says nothing good lives in me, he doesn't mean that there's absolutely nothing that's good in him. Because in the very same breath we're going to look at, he says, "I delight in God's law." Now, if you're pure evil, can you delight in God's law? No, there's good. But what he's saying is the flesh that I still live in, there's just evil there. There's just evil. And all the goodness that's in him, it's still tainted by the evil of the flesh as long as he's on this earth. Believe it or not, this wrestling is a good sign. If you're wrestling the same way Paul is, if you're having the same kind of struggle, it's a good sign. And here's why. The fact that you delight in God's law, the fact that you desire to do good, the fact that you hate your evil actions, that shows that you belong to God. Did you know that? We struggle so much with that wrestle, and we say, dang it, I got it wrong again. Dang it, why did I do that? Man, I feel so evil sometimes. Why can't I live up to this? The fact that you're wrestling with that means that you belong to God. We're going to read something really interesting when we get to chapter 8, verse 7. It says, the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. If you did not have the Spirit of God living in you, if you still belonged 100% to the flesh, if you were enslaved by sin, could you delight in God's law? Would you wrestle with this so much? No, the wrestling is a good sign. The wrestling says, I love God, I love His law, and I hate my evil, sinful actions. That wrestling is a good sign. That's a good thing. That struggle. This is the state that we live in right now. 1 John 3:2 says, dear friends, we are God's children now. It's true now. But what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. Do you see the tension that we live in on this earth? Do I belong to God? Yes, I do, through Jesus Christ. Am I perfect? Am I just like Jesus? Not yet. So we live every day on this earth in that tension, in that struggle. Here's the wrestling. Here's the wrestling I'm talking about. We live every day between the already of our salvation in Christ, what's already been accomplished, and the not yet of perfection with Him in eternity. That's the tension we live in. That's the wrestling, is that we already belong to Christ. We are already made righteous in Him, but we are not yet perfected in eternity. And brothers and sisters, that's a rough place to spend every day. That's a rough place to spend every day. And it creates this incredible tension in us on a daily basis. And that's where we find our wretchedness, the struggle that we all face. Verses 21 through 24. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self, I delight in God's law. I love it. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? This difficult situation, the tension we live in, the struggle that Paul is expressing, it continues to spiral to a place of wretchedness. The more we think on it, the more we live on it, the more we struggle with it. Paul's saying this, he says, in me there's good, but in me there's evil. In me is God's law, but in me is the law of sin, waging war, fighting it at all these times. And we may say, think about this. I've been in this place. I believe you have too if you're a follower of Christ. We say, I know God. I know the gospel. I know Jesus has saved me and released me from my sin and death. I know I belong to Him. I know I have a place in heaven for all eternity. I know what He desires for my life. I know what the Bible says about right and wrong, but I can't seem to get it right. Don't always do it. And when we look at that situation and we just look at that from our human perspective, there's only one cry that we can make. And it's the very same one that Paul says here, isn't it? What a wretched man I am. After all God has done, after all He's done and He's accomplished for me, after all the freedom He's given me, after the entire story of the gospel and the sacrificial love that he has shown me, I still am battling this stupid sin. What a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. This passage is a little too real, isn't it? This one hurts a little. It's a little too raw. It's a little too close to home. Here's the wretchedness. And this is going to be a rough one. Trust me on this. Here's the wretchedness. No matter how much I know about God and what He expects of me, I cannot overcome the sin that still resides in me. That sounds really weird for a pastor to say, doesn't it? Trust me, we're gonna get to where I'm going. But read that carefully. I spent a lot of time wording this. No matter how much we know about God and what He expects of us, it cannot overcome the sin that still resides within us. As we said at the beginning, the law of God is holy, but it is unable to make us holy. The law of God is holy, but is unable to make us holy. Now, let's end the passage today. This is our conclusion. This is what Paul concludes with. Verse 25. After his cry of what a wretched man I am, he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin." You know what I've always loved about this passage? Verse 25a. Praise be to God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You know what I've always not liked about this passage is verse 25b. The first half is beautiful. Praise God. He's the one who rescues. All the answers to our struggle and the help that we so desperately need all lie in Him. Only He can bring me out of my wretchedness. Amen? Man, that's beautiful. But that's not the conclusion of the passage. There's another sentence. And I always think every single time when I read through this, I'm like, Paul, why couldn't you just leave it at praise God? Can't we just leave it there? I love that part. And the reason he does this is because he wants to make sure that we don't end this tension too soon. Paul's building up. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot of repetition in that passage. Did you notice that? He says the same thing a lot of times. The reason is he's building up attention. He wants us to read that and be convicted. He wants us to hear these words and go, man, quit saying this over and over again because I don't like it. Because it hurts. Because it hits a little too close to home. So he's building up this tension and he doesn't want to relieve it yet. He gives us that little ray of hope at the beginning of the verse, but then he ends with this. So then, which is what kind of a statement? That's a concluding statement, right? So, let me wrap this up. Here's what I'm saying. With my mind, I myself am serving the law of God. But with my flesh, the law of sin. You see, God is the only one who relieves the tension and saves us from the wretched experience of living in sin, even though we don't really want to. Even when we love God and we love His commands, even when we truly desire to follow Him. This passage, this is so important. This is so important. All right, wake up. This is so important. This passage is not about salvation. It's about sanctification. Okay, let me tell you that again. This passage is not about salvation. It's about sanctification. Now, I have told you, we have gone over and over and over in the book of Romans, will the law save you? Will obeying everything save you? Let's say you could do it. Will it save you? And the answer is no. We have answered that in depth. But that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is sanctification. What sanctification means is being made more and more like Jesus. becoming more and more of who you already are. That's what sanctification is for believers. And so this isn't about salvation. It's not about trying to earn your salvation. It's about the fact that I am saved, and yet I still struggle being who I'm supposed to be. It's about sanctification. So how does the law apply to that? Shouldn't we be obeying the laws now as Christians? What is this talking about? It's about the fact that I love God, I belong to Him, and I still do the evil that I don't want to do. How do I fix the situation? That's the tension that he's built up this whole time. So I'm going to give you a couple hints, because I don't want to leave you completely hanging today, like Paul does at the end of the chapter. By the way, you're welcome to keep reading your Bible after church is over today. I want to give you a couple hints. Here's one hint. Chapter 7. Paul uses the word law or command or refers to the law 31 times in chapter 7. Okay? 31 times. And he ends the chapter with no relief, does he? Let me tell you all about brothers and sisters, Christians. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about you living your life. Let me tell you all about the law. And he gets to the end of the chapter and he says, good luck with that. No help. Chapter 8, where we're about to go, Paul will use the word spirit 21 times in chapter 8. And if you remember, I said from verses 7 through the end of chapter 7, verse 7 all the way through 25, the word spirit is not mentioned anytime in there. He says the law is spiritual. That's the only time the spirit's mentioned at all. And so then all of a sudden in chapter 8 is filled with the word spirit. It's all over the place. And here's how chapter 8 ends, verses 37 through 39. Here's his conclusion to the spirit chapter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Period. That's the end of that chapter. That's the way to end a chapter, right? That's the way to end a chapter. I'm going to give you a brief explanation of what Paul writes all through chapter 7 and chapter 8, and it actually comes from the book of Galatians. He gives us a much shorter version here, since I don't want to leave you hanging. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. We just talked about that. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about such things. In that list, anybody relate to any of those? Don't raise your hand. It's fine. As I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a beautiful life, isn't it? The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, how do we apply this? We hopefully all recognize that our salvation does not come from obeying the law. I hope we've heard that in the book of Romans. But let me ask you this. How many of us are still trying to overcome the flesh and escape our everyday sinfulness simply by following the rules and trying to get everything right? I hope we can understand this distinction. It's one the church, I think, has lost completely. especially the American church today. How many of us are still trying? We've got our salvation. It's in the bank. I understand that I can't ever be good enough to earn my salvation. That's done. That's over. But as I live every day as a Christian, how many of us are saying, just give me the right rules to follow and I can live a good life as a follower of Jesus Christ? How many of us live that way? And you might be sitting here going, Pastor Shane, I thought this was the way I was supposed to live. We show up at church. We hear how we're supposed, okay, what are the rules I'm supposed to follow? Then we go try to do all those rules on a regular basis. My question for you is this. Do you have any desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that what you're pursuing? To pursue a life lived in intimacy with Jesus Christ, not just obeying His rules. A life that grows closer to God every day. How much time do you spend in prayer, brothers and sisters? How much time do you spend in the Word, not looking for the rules, but listening to the voice of God? How much time do you spend talking about your faith? Encouraging and opening up to other believers, developing good relationships with brothers and sisters. How much time do you spend serving His church and giving of yourself back to Him? Truly living the Christian life, walking the Christian life, is not obeying rules. It's pursuing a relationship. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. If you've given your life to Christ, you're going to heaven either way. You can try to obey all the rules and just be frustrated. Or you can pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ and see how your life naturally changes. Either way, you're going to heaven because Christ has paid the price for those sins. But one way of living is incredibly frustrating. Because I don't know about you, but I've tried to obey the laws so hard and I screw it up every single time. I've tried to pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is always rewarded every time I do it. Quit trying to do good and start trying to live in the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to come back next week. And we'll talk about that in chapter 8, because that's where Paul goes next. Go ahead and stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for opening up the path to a relationship with you. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize that when we were lost in our sinfulness, there was absolutely no hope. Until Jesus Christ came down in the form of a man, suffering and dying, taking the sins of the world upon His shoulders, raising again on the third day, victorious over sin and death. We were, in the truest, deepest sense of the word, absolutely hopeless. Hopeless. Lord, thank you for providing a way back to you. Lord, thank you that you have conquered death and you've forgiven us of our sins and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Father, thank you for that. Taking away that hopeless situation. But today, help us to realize that in all that, what you've really done is you've created a pathway to a relationship with you. So we can know you. So we can walk with you. So we can be with you. So we can hear your voice. We can be filled with your Spirit. We can live abundant lives, not just because we obey the rules now, but because we walk intimately with our God. Lord, thank you for opening up your arms and letting us back into your home. Lord, teach us now in the coming weeks, but every single day, as we pray and open up our hearts to you, as we open up your word and listen to your voice, not just look for the rules, but see the beautiful places where you also tell us how much you love us. and encourage us and strengthen us, where you convict us of our sins so that we could be convicted and desire a closer life to you, not just follow some more rules, but also know how much you've forgiven us for as well. Lord, let us be involved in your ministry, whether it's volunteering at the church or sharing the gospel with our coworker, but just be involved with your eternal work that you're doing right now. Lord, teach us every day to pursue a relationship with you. And as we do that, Lord, to see peace, patience, righteousness, joyfulness, all the things we truly desire begin to take root in our hearts. Thank you for opening a relationship to you. Help us to pursue that with all that we are. It's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.